88, 59. I was reading over the pages on love that I wrote last night. They remind me of Paul. From them I deduce that I did in fact experience the agape of God, His love that created us as independent creatures. This love deliberately curtailed so that we could go forth with essence, with true autonomous being. Love created us. But we are vaguely unhappy. This is all such ecstatic writing, so mysterious. Our suffering increases His love because He knows that we value non-existence more than this existence, because this existence requires us to be independent, hence cut off from Him. We yearn to retrace our steps, and this increases His love and joy. And in us love occurs, love like that He has. It now occurs in us as well, we whom love gave birth to. Compared with this love, world is nothing, a cinder, dust. For us to feel it in us. And finally, if we feel it in us, we feel His love for us once more, the love that created us in the first place. Our own love is an echo of the power, the love that caused us to be in the first place. I understand from all this that compared with this love, love by Him in the first place, then loved by us, then loved by Him again, that original love that created us re-experienced, there is nothing, nothing at all. We only find Him again when we begin to feel love in us, echoes of the love He felt. He responds then with His own love. We did not know when we suffered why we suffered, but it gave Him joy because He saw it as a sign of love growing in us, echoing His love. This is source for us, and it is goal, unremembered as source and unknown as goal, but still felt as suffering. I can't explain it. It is too mysterious. But love is the origin, and love is the goal. There is nothing that compares with it. It is everything. Love triumphs over love, I wrote. I don't know now what that means. Yet I sense that it is correct. God withdraws so as to allow us independent existence. This is His gift and sacrifice, to let us go. And then a time comes when we want to return and abandon independent existence. Now we have penetrated the mystery of existence, that non-being with Him is preferable to being, sign, away from Him. The great gift of Aine is given back voluntarily, renounced, that I might live in Him invisible and dim. Note. Henry Vaughan, The Night. End note. That says it all. Love equals non-being, the dissolution of the separated creature. He feels such joy at our voluntary return, our renouncing of existence. And this joy is shared by us when we find Him again. This is the origin of the infinite bliss that I felt, love as source, and return to love once more. 88, 68, December 21st, 1980. Very important insight. 374 was a massive enantiodromia for which it was responsible. Its purpose? It was put here to regulate, hence guide and control, human history. This view is halfway between theology and conspiracy. This means it is not God, but also it is not a construct? Yes, it is a construct. It can be thought of in SF terms. The Torah as construct. Ubik. One and the same? But what? Like trash. Torah. Hierarchically arranged reality, with it, Valis, as apex, we're not, and in addition, it itself arranges, so it is self-generating. It is a UTI, and it is not conquering us. It is subordinating and unifying us hierarchically in terms of the ecosphere, life of this planet. But this is not God. If anything, It inspires us rather than limiting us. But it does coordinate us. It is a brain and not a mind. In a peculiarly literal way, we do its thinking for it. The arrangements of our information are not a result of its thinking, but are its thinking. Of this I am certain. Everything about Valis must be made with this discriminatory realization. So it is as if this planet is alive. But this is a perfect description of the Alexandrian Stoic logic, world reason, but not God. It is Christ, and he literally is becoming the physical world, by literal transubstantiation, as Logos becomes flesh. That's it. The Word made flesh. Yes, Valis is a penetration of the physical, matter as field, by spirit. This is different from pantheism. So physicists will find that reality behaves more and more like Brahman and in Taoism. But this is a dynamic, ongoing process. I know, I saw it. Suddenly, I see it all. The Logos became flesh. And this set off a logosization of reality itself, a strategy. No longer was the Hagia Sophia outside of creation, but at its physical core. It is Christ, if one understands that Christ is the Logos. One thing is certain. Valis is no mere spirit. Valis is physically real. Christ is here in this world on this side of the grave. Apparently, God is not. Hence, we speak of the Logos as world reason. 8876. Okay, I loved Parsifal in high school, and nothing satisfied me in life thereafter in comparison. Question: where do you go next from Act 3 of Parsifal? Answer: there is only one place, one next step, one answer, to Christ himself. This is it. Nothing else ever made me happy because nothing else ever logically followed Act 3 of Parsifal along any axis, aesthetically, logically, epistemologically, spiritually, topically, etc. I wanted more. There is no more except in knowing Christ, which means to have him born in you, hence the Nativity. It's all modeled on the Good Friday spell, part of Act 3. I knew what I wanted at 15 years old, the next step after the Good Friday spell. And I knew what that is. And finally, I found it, 2374. And I have it yet. But I found then the next step, unsuspected, 111780. From the Son as gate, I made my way to the Father. Parsifal deals with the Son. It is penultimate, which I did not suspect. From salvation, blood, and the cross to agape. From this world, 2374, the crucifixion, to the next, the Father and his love, not world. The blood and the cross are the highest point of this world, 2374. Then tears of the repentant sinner turn to agape, as in tears. The tears has to do with sin and atonement, and Christ and the cross. But all this sorrow is a gate to love, tears. And love, agape, equals ecstasy. So tears of sorrow, the cross, are converted into the opposite, joy, through agape. This is the goal and mystery of Christianity, this conversion, utter sorrow, Mitleid, to bliss, agape. This is pity's highest power. It leads to bliss since agape links pity, compassion, to joy. Compassion becomes or even is agape, and agape ushers in joy because it, starting as Mitleid, ends up in God, since agape is his eine. So compassion, Mitleid, is the road from this world to God. Hence, the crucifixion and the feelings engendered lead to God the Father because of the common element of agape. This is the miraculous healing of Amfortas's wound. You cannot feel Mitleid without feeling agape. And you cannot feel agape without entering into and sharing God's esse. This is what happens at the ending of tears. Based on my experience in 70, of sorrow becoming compassion, becoming love, and in 374, joy, and in 11:17:80, reaching God and His pure agape nature. Somehow my action vis-a-vis Covenant House fits into this sorrow, compassion, agape, joy, God sequence. So it's all based on my earlier sorrows circa 1970, when I was writing Tears. Compassion, Mitleid, is a blend of sorrow and love. Thus, it is the nexus between sorrow and joy. Joy entering because love leads to God. So I now know what Mitleid's Hichtheit macht refers to. Note. German, roughly. Pity's greatest might. In addition to translating Mitleid as compassion rather than pity, Dick is conflating two lines from the second act of Wagner's Parsifal, which run Mitleids höchste Kraft und reinsten Wissens Macht. Pity's mighty power and purest wisdom's might. End note. Sorrow to compassion to agape, to God to bliss. The way of the cross now makes sense to me. I understand why Jesus had to die and in the way He did, if He was to be a gateway to the Father. The transfiguration in me occurred when I had the dream. Punishment, death, exacted on Peterson as justice for what he had done, the fallow law. Note. During Dick's breakup with his wife Nancy, he perceived Peterson as a romantic rival. End note. But seeing this, the Old Testament, I felt compassion, which I experienced as sorrow. This took me from the era of justice to the era of mercy. And out from under the law of justice, in my own case, it also led me eventually to God through Christ. The old king in the dream is Yahweh, and the Old Testament exacting justice. But through compassion, Mitleid, I opted for the New Testament in place of the law. I mean agape and that God or that era, maybe. Third Torah. Note. Dick's take, or one of his takes at least, on the question of law and grace is not too dissimilar from that of John Calvin, who distinguished between the Hebrew Bible's covenant of works and the New Testament's covenant of grace. In Dick's formulation, the Torah is an all-too-strict mechanistic system based on an inflexible equation of transgression and punishment. As elsewhere, Dick is preoccupied with determinism, which he considers an evil. Love, grace, mercy breaks through the requirements of normal causality. Compare this statement on the rigidity of Torah with Dick's comment in the essay The Android and the Human, that the android mind is characterized by the inability to make exceptions. GM. End note. So mercy was later, 374, applied to my case. But it took the dream to convert my sorrow to Mitleid upon seeing the sentence of justice imposed, death. Without the dream, my sorrow at the loss of Nancy would have stayed simply sorrow, and the dream was based on the rat experience, which roused vast compassion in me and was the root moksha religious experience, and it, in turn, was based on the beetle incident when I was in the fourth grade. And in the 60s, the Galapagos turtle compassion, at which point the AI voice spoke to me. So my whole development was guided along over the decades since childhood. The first episode was my throwing the cat down the stairs and feeling sorrow for it. The slayer sees himself in what he slays. Tattvamasi. 88-79. That 2374 and 11:17:80 were genuine, I cannot now doubt, having perceived this life history of progressive moksha, of stages of loss, of striving and self, the two are the same. Both Christianity and Buddhism, Brahmanism leads to the same goal because both are based on compassion. For India, this means the loss of self. For the Christian, it means experiencing agape. Hence, God, since agape is his nature. Hence, I can now link Christianity with pan-Indian thought through the slayer and the slain, compassion identification. This is one road, and it does lead to release. It leads specifically to the perception of reality as one total sentient field, i.e. Valas, Brahman, or the cosmic Christ, of which you are a part. So Valas is Brahman, but also yourself and also hence Christ, since yourself now has given birth to the Godhead, i.e. Christos in you. Thus, my entire life led up to 374 and seeing Valas, and this in turn led logically to 11-17-80, Christian Nirvana, to meeting God, the Christian God of love, viz. 374 was Brahman, i.e. Eastern, 11-17-80 was Western and Christian. Both are true, and both are reached by the one root of compassion. So 374 represented the final extinction of my individual self and a return to Brahman, God, and it is the culmination of a lifetime of moksha, compassion experiences that finally released me from karma and maya, and I saw the God field. I was led along this route, journey, by God, from moksha to moksha. And it's all in VR, in The Dying Dog in the Ditch, and Emmanuel's anamnesis and recovery of his true identity.